great for Labor Day weekend. It's not a Max Hyundai Monday. Mark Rogers, Dusty Dvorak with you. Man, it was a weekend full of football. Full of football. I'm sure you were excited.
Can we make a pack? I'm like beyond fired up today. You know, I know Labor Day, everybody take your day off. We appreciate it. I don't think it's laboring today. You know what I mean? Like, I just, after all this
football consumed,
it's a great day to work.
Dusty, I have a question for you.
Yes.
You sent me an email at like 3 a.m., again at like 6 a.m. Do you ever sleep? Or are you just like way fired up about college football?
I was way fired up about college football. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I was. I'm sorry about that. Does that like send, I thought
no,
about
no,
it after
no,
I
no.
sent them.
It doesn't wake me up.
It doesn't send you like an alert or something to wake
you
up?
No, sometimes I don't even get notifications. I was just like, man, I'm wondering when you had time to sleep.
Well, I mean, I tell people this sometimes. I'll sleep when it's not football season. You know what I mean? I'll sleep when I'm dead or when it's not football. Because right now, man, there's too much to get to. And I noticed Matt Ravis, both my partners here. You guys watched Ole Miss Memphis. Thanks for tuning in on ABC on Saturday, boys.
Absolutely, man. You did a good job.
Absolutely did a great job.
It was a fun game. I mean, it looked like it may be a blowout, but it wound up being a very competitive contest down to the end. Big win for Memphis, guys.
Yeah, they're pretty stout.
I thought there'd be a lot more offense in that game. The Ole Miss quarterback, he had kind of a hard time.
Matt Corral. Yes, he did. The quarterbacks in Oklahoma did not have a hard time. I echo your sentiments, Mark. I don't know how many years ago. I feel like the first time I remember, for some reason, Jameis Winston against Pittsburgh is stuck in my mind. And maybe that was the Monday of Labor Day, but I don't know when they started doing the Sunday night of Labor Day weekend on ESPN, but I'm glad they did. The five straight days of football we get from Thursday to tonight, that's just what the doctor ordered to get everybody back in football mode, you know?
I agree. And then I thought, you know, campus was just pretty electric yesterday.
Yeah.
It was crowded. The game was fantastic. I didn't go into the game, but watched the game on TV. So it was I thought it was a great event for OU. I really do. I don't know if they can do it again or they might try to do it again, but I think that went off better than anybody could have ever expected.
Yeah, I got a chance. I was down the field before the game talking with Joe C. and Kenny Mossman. And, you know, I had talked to him before, but I thought, you know, great job by them to take advantage of that opportunity, because I think initially that game was going to be scheduled for an early bird kick. And they were able to, you know, I think ESPN, they let them know that they didn't like it. ESPN propositioned them, offered them that opportunity, and they took advantage of it. And, you know, a lot goes into that. There's some people that Sundays, you know, that they don't really want to do that. But I think all in all, it was the right decision. It was a great opportunity to kind of feature the program and the university. And I thought the wideout came off really well. So, no, I'm with you. I thought that was a good call. Don't know if it's going to happen again, but – it was a good event, and boy, the offense, Mark, some things change and some things stay the same, right? I think, is it safe to say as long as Lincoln Riley is coordinating an offense that Oklahoma is going to be pretty tough to stop?
Yeah, they're going to be very tough to stop. Hey, I heard you talking to Craig earlier. I thought the defense played really well early in the game.
Yeah,
Craig totally had agree. Said Brad Lund kind of brought up the point, well, once – quote, they figured it out, then they played the rest of the game even. I mean, the yardage differential was pretty significant in the game between the two teams. But do you think that was the case? That just kind of waited a little bit of time to figure it out because there wasn't any Grinch OU tape out there?
I think there's probably an element of that. I think it's also, I thought that the Oklahoma defense got tired, both physically and a little bit mentally. You know, they made some mistakes as the game went on, but and you got to give Houston credit. It's a good offense. They're going to put up a lot of points against a lot of people. But, no, if you heard me talk, you heard me say, I walk away from that with positive thoughts because we saw better tackling. We saw, I thought, players playing with an edge, with a toughness. I thought we saw guys flying around. I thought that you saw, you know, the defensive line, like we've talked about, playing the other side of the ball. I thought the three sacks in the first quarter were huge. Three and outs in the first four possessions. So I thought there was a lot of positive you can take away, but you can't completely just ignore some of the issues you saw in the second half. And again, I kind of look at that. I don't want to be overly optimistic and too positive, but to me, that's sometimes a good thing because you know that there are big steps in the right direction based off of what you saw. Right? It's been put on tape. You saw it. You know at times what these players and what this defense is capable of. But you also saw some bad. That's great for a coach to be able to go in there and get it corrected. And it's great for them to be able to show those players you still got a long way to go. Yeah, and because I can just tell you what coaches always want, and if you show it to them once, they expect it every time. Right, they want that consistency. Don't be a guy that shows up and makes does the right thing half the time or 75% of the time. You got to do it every time. So that's why I think that I definitely think that you take more good than bad walking away from that game. But I don't think you can act like everything's fixed and this Oklahoma defense is just going to be unbelievable this year. No, that's not the case. They still have things they have to figure out. But I saw a lot of good signs from Kenneth Murray. From Ronnie Perkins. I thought he looked great yesterday, and I thought Neville Gallimore, Stripling, Jalen Redmond out there making plays, running around. I thought Buki looked better at times too, Mark. Chance, you know, Sylvie was in there. I thought Buki played better in the nickel spot. And, you know, guys weren't running wide open down the field. So, not, again, I think it's a good first game that they can build on, but they need to get better, right? I mean, you'd agree with that, wouldn't you?
Yes. They definitely need to get better. I thought my rudimentary analysis on what the defense would be is 30 points was the test. Is if yep. it was significantly under 30, then they did really well. If it was over 30, it was going to be poor. They ended up 31.
So, yep. I had a 28.
I like the attitude at the beginning of the game. They came out and they played hard.
They did. They played fast, man. You want to play fast. And you want to have guys in the right position. And you saw all that, so definitely good. The issue is going to be, I don't know how much they're going to be tested until Texas, which maybe is a good thing, right? Because they can get a little confidence and feel good about themselves. But, I mean, Texas Tech will test them. I take that back. Texas Tech will test them offensively. I don't know how much.
Yeah, you'll through for 400 and change.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to test them and really test that secondary that I still don't know exactly how fixed that is. That pass rush has got to continue to come, and they got to be able to get pressure to help those guys out back there. But I think if you're Alex Grinch, there's a lot to teach, but also he probably won't voice it publicly. I'm sure there's a lot that you like and you take away. They got to get takeaways, though, Mark. No takeaways last night. They got to find a way to get the ball out, take it away, because that was such a glaring issue, I thought, last season, that if as good as Lincoln Riley is offensively and as good as that offense is going to be, imagine if you get them a couple extra possessions each week.
Yeah. If they can do that, that's going to go a long way in helping them. And then again, to me, the big story was just the performance of Jalen Hurts and how good he looked and how comfortable he was and Lincoln Riley, you know.
Okay, what did you think? So, you know, I was doing TV last night with Dean, and he'll come on later, so I don't want to speak for him. But him and I had completely different views on the way Lincoln used Jalen. I thought it was exactly the way we had talked about. I mean, you and I have talked a lot about this. I think he's going to get about 12 to 15 carries a game. I mean, I think that's going to be about the way it's going to be. It was 16 last night. But you obviously saw more design quarterback run. To me, why wouldn't you do that? I mean, this guy, he's a big physical runner. I mean, they show him, we've seen the video of him squatting a million times. And, you know, when he was at Alabama, his freshman year, I think he averaged right around 13 carries a game. His second year as a starter was around 11, 12. I don't know why you wouldn't utilize that skill set. And the thing to me, we saw it once, what that can potentially open up in the passing game and the play action game. I love that play call, Mark, when it was like the fake sweep and then he hits a wide open receiver down the field. I mean, I just think that you have to be, just as a defender, when you have a quarterback who's mobile like that, and as a coordinator, when you're putting a game plan together, when you're a player watching that tape, and you know that the quarterback possesses that type of running ability, you are so worried about stopping that. I just think that's going to open up some other things, and Lincoln Riley ain't no fool. He is as good as anybody at adapting to his personnel, and he's obviously going to put up numbers. It's not going to look the exact same as it has with the last two quarterbacks. That doesn't mean it can't be equally as successful.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you would have to be crazy not to think that he's going to get some kind of a boost by coming in and playing in this offense for Lincoln Riley.
Yep.
You know, I mean, he's so good at what he does. He's incredible.
What'd you think of the O-line? Because that was the other big question mark. Four new starters, and they didn't have Eric Swenson, their starting left tackle.
They look
great. Move R.J. Proctor over to left.
They look great.
I agree.
I mean, when I you know, you gave me a little bit of a scouting report, or you told us that when Coach Biedenboe was pretty happy with the way things were going, and I think coaches' tendencies are usually to not be real happy when you're working through practice and breaking in new guys. And so if he was happy at the time, then, yeah, you had to like the way things were going. They look good.
He's pretty good, huh?
Bill Biedenboe? He's really good. Really good.
Golly, man. He's not bad. And we need to spend more time, and maybe we could take this segment long, but let's go to Friday night, Mark. I gave my spiel, but I'll tell you what. I mean, I give him credit because Mike Gundy pulled the wool over just about everybody's eyes because, I mean, everyone I talked to, Mark, and I think you too, was pretty convinced that Drew Brown was going to start.
Right.
Not only did he not start, we didn't see him in a meaningful rep, and I just thought Spencer Sanders hit it out of the park the other night.
He was awesome. I think, though, you got to talk about how good Chuba Hubbard and Tylan Wallace are. They really kind of worked their way into the game before. I don't think Tylan Wallace got his first catch until the second quarter. And those guys look pretty good against a bad defense, but they are special players. They're as good as any running back or any wide receiver in the country. So I thought that was good for Oklahoma State. I really was kind of shocked by their defense. I thought they'd play better than that.
They struggled at times. They struggled. They were able to get some stops, but they definitely had some struggles.
Was there any word on why Israel Antoine didn't make the trip?
I didn't see that. No, I don't know. They should get Calvin Bundage back at some point too, Mark. Now, I did think Malcolm Rodriguez, I was pretty impressed with him, and he looked more bulked up, and I thought he made some nice tackles. But that defense got a ways to go.
Well, they've got to have players step up in the front seven. I don't think they were able to put a whole lot of pressure. And I do like Malcolm Rodriguez. He's a really good high school kid at Wagner. So it was a good find by them. Really good find by them. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. We'll check in on the picks, how they've done over the weekend. We have one left pending, tonight's Louisville Notre Dame game.
Got my heart ripped out, Marcus.
There was a couple of really.
I mean, heart ripped out.
You had two bad endings.
What was it? Was it? Is it Indiana Temple of Doom? Hum-num-shiba. Remember when he digs his hand into the chest and he turns and he pulls the heart out and the beating heart's sitting there?
Yeah.
Hum-num-shiba. Oh, that was me.
That was scary.
Sitting there watching Stanford Northwestern. Heart ripped out.
All right, we're going to talk about all that and more when we come back. I'm at Automax Sunday at Del City, 606-4000. Tag, title, and tax on every new and pre-owned vehicle sold today. The 2019 Elantra start at $10,980. Pre-owned vehicles starting as low as $29.95. Come by and see us. It's busy Labor Day. The Del City Automax location, I-40 and Sunny Lane. Stay tuned. More of the Monsters next.
The Morning Animals.
I just picture a homeschool.
Entire lock of the week.
Should have
stuck with
it. Gosh.
Get me to the bank for a 1-0 lock starts.
Nice.
Tough break for Matt Ravis. But, boy, tell you what, there were some bad beats.
Yeah, what's up with the two-point conversions in that game, huh?
Yeah, why did Oregon State go for a two-point conversion? I'm still trying to figure that out. I'm with you, Matt. Did anybody understand that?
I certainly didn't.
I think they probably felt like OSU's defense. Just whatever.
Well,
I don't know.
But, I mean, it was like, what was the score when they did that? I think it was... I'm trying to remember what the score was. It was, 31-16, and I guess they realized that there was no way they were going to get stopped, so they needed to try to score as many points as they could. I don't know, but that was very weird. But, yes, nice cash for Oklahoma State. Mark, Oklahoma cash for you and I.
And Matt.
Houston.
All of us. Yeah,
we all had
three.
Houston. That's
all
right.
Three.
We all had Houston. We were fortunate that Oklahoma lost the turnover battle. Because if it weren't for that, I don't think there was any chance Houston was going to cover that number. But it did work out pretty well. I heard last night on the postgame show, Al hit the number on the head. I think he picked 49-31. I had 48-28, but I think Vegas hit the number on the head too, Mark. How about that? Right at 80. 80 with the over-under.
I also think Bill Haysen picked it correct.
Did he? Right on the head?
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
Pretty good. I don't know why 49-31 was such a popular score with people, but anyway, that
well done.
Yeah, that's very good. That's very good.
Do you want me to start with my team
entire
lock of the week?
But both games.
I changed my flight from Memphis to Oklahoma City. I was supposed to fly out right after my game, but I said, you know what? It's college football Saturday. I can fly in on Sunday. It's a night game. So I changed my flight, and I sat back, and I, after our game, I watched college football all day, right? So I had a chance to watch it. The Duke-Alabama game was on. By the way, 14-3 at half, it felt like Duke was going to be an easy cover. Then Alabama said, no, we're tired of playing with these guys, and they just crushed them. But then also at the same time, we had Northwestern-Stanford, which since I changed my lock of the week last second, that became – my T&W title lock of the week. And it was not a pretty game to watch if you watched it. You got to really love football. It was a defensive slugfest, as kind of was anticipated. KJ Costello, Stanford quarterback, goes out. Northwestern couldn't figure out what they were doing. Hunter Johnson starts, the Clemson transfer, and then he's awful. So they bench him for TJ Green. So TJ Green comes in. He's actually moving the ball, Trent Green's son. And then he got hurt, looked like he broke his ribs. And they take him out, and they bring back in Hunter Johnson. And it was just ugly. It was 10-0, but then Stanford fumbles, and Northwestern gets it, and they're able to score a touchdown. So it's 10-7, game's playing out, and it's setting up for it to be a perfect cover, just like I thought. You know, 6.5 was the number. Everything's looking great. Stanford, Northwestern gets the football with 4.5 left. They punt it about midfield with 2:58. Then Stanford, they get the ball. All they got to do is get a couple of first downs, Mark. They can't convert on a 3rd and 4. So they get the ball back. They get the ball back to Northwestern. Northwestern gets the football with 20 seconds left. It's 10-7. 20 seconds left. They're on their own 22-yard line, Mark. Okay? Cover City, right? I'm already sitting there. I'm thinking, man, hit my first lock. Oh, baby, let's go. And then this happened.
So here we go on first down. He's being chased by Toohill and gets drilled. That is a live ball and will seal the deal for Stanford.
Mark.
Ouch.
22-yard loss. Here's the worst part. The fat offensive lineman, that's right, offensive lineman, you're fat, you're unathletic, you can't fall on a football, right? The offensive lineman of Northwestern, he's right there. No one's even around him, Mark. Just drop his fall, and he want to jump on the end zone, be a safety, which would make it a perfect 12-7 game, which is a great cover for Northwestern. We cast the money. No. He can't jump on the ball. He kicks it to a Stanford defender, and they score a touchdown. I mean, I've had some bad beats, but for a T&W Tire Lock of the Week to get things kick-started, a sack, fumble, touchdown, 22-yard loss with under 20 seconds to play. Oh, Mark!
I think that it didn't affect the point spread, obviously, because North Carolina won their game. Straight up, but they ran one in at the end of that one. And how in the world does Mac Brown take a knee and give the ball to South Carolina at midfield in that game on fourth down? Why do you not punt the football there?
I don't know.
You have to check that out. That was interesting. Also Oregon most of the night had the lead on Auburn. It looked like they were going to win the game. They didn't play very well, but tough fourth quarter for all of the Oregon Duck supporters out there.
Yeah, and for anybody who locked Oregon, like me. So that I went down in that one as well.
Hey, man, you and I were going down together. But, I mean, the way the situation set up is, you know, even with Oregon going into a shell and not being able to move the ball, it's still – by the way, let me ask this real quick. Did anybody else find it interesting – that when it went to 21, when Auburn scores, when it's 21-13, they didn't go for two?
Yes.
Anybody else find that odd? I didn't know what Gus was doing there. Well, I was very surprised that he kicked the extra point to make it 21-20. But he kicked the extra point, 21-20, you know, coming down to the wire. And when Bo Nix, there's 9 seconds left on the clock, okay, I thought they're on the 26-yard line. This is still going to be perfect. Raviskin is locked. I'm going to hit my pick. Clearly, I can't get two bad beats in a row, back-to-back games, right? I mean, no way that would happen. This is setting up. Auburn kicker is going to make the field goal. This is going to be a 23-21 Auburn victory and an easy cover for people holding the Oregon Duck ticket. But a star was born in Auburn, Bo Nix, son of Patrick Nix. He went and did this with 9 seconds left.
Now they can play a little safer, but they're not going to. Nix is back, throws it downfield.
Go back. How about Fowler? Go back to that.
He was pretty shocked.
Go ahead. I mean, play it safe one more time. Play it safe.
Now you can play it a little safer.
Yeah. Or just throw it in the end zone. Jeez. I'm sorry, Matt Ravis. That's not the way your T&W Tired Locks of the Week were supposed to start here on the Monsters.
No. No, that was definitely a bad beat. Definitely a bad beat.
We got bad beat twice. Mark Rogers had a nice pick on the Fresno State. Well done by you there. You made a little bank.
USC lost a quarterback. That game was on again this morning, and it looked like that USC was going to get out on them pretty good. But Fresno came back and even had a chance to tie it up late. Jake Trotter and I text each other on Saturday, and he was giving it up to himself. I was giving it up to myself on our Toledo and Ohio State picks, but that turned out to be a situation that didn't go our way. Toledo had the lead in the first half. And then gave it up to Kentucky. I was getting 11.5. Toledo goes down by 14. Arkansas State, another one of my picks. They lose. SMU gets a road win. That was a good win for SMU. And an emotional home game for the Red Wolves. So, 3-2 on the opening week. Dusty, 2-2 with one left tonight.
I got
Notre Dame minus
18.
The 18. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Matt Ravis starts the season 2-3. Winners with Cincinnati,
what was your
Houston.
Other winner? Ravis?
Cincinnati. I also picked on the wrong side of the BYU and Utah game.
Yeah. Anytime a team gets two defensive touchdowns and you're on the other side, it's going to be tough to cover that one, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. That was rough.
If it weren't for those two defensive touchdowns, you're right on it, man. Probably inside the number, so.
I'm perfectly fine with 2-3. That's a good first week, I think.
Hey, Friday night, I went to check out a little high school football, Tuttle Newcastle.
Okay.
And I was sitting in the stands, and there's a guy behind me, and we kind of strike up a conversation a little bit, and they asked me what I do. Giving a shout-out to Gage Line and his son-in-law. Gage Line calls the station from time to time, so I told him I would give him a shout-out. And then I told the guy who worked on the radio, he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, do you know old Dusty Dvorak? And I said, yep, I do. And he said, well, I had to pull him over one day on I-44. For speeding. So he said, you're a good dude. I can't remember if he gave you a ticket or not. You would know. I don't know. I can't remember.
We may have to check Dusty's permanent driving record real quick.
Yeah, that's right. We have to see how many points he's got. I'll tell you this. No one at the station has more points than the ultimate. He definitely is the most chronic of the speeders. So,
well, if he said I was a good dude, tell him next time if that were to happen, which it won't, because I never speed anymore.
Right,
let me off easy. Be kind of him.
Yeah, I agree. You should get some leniency on that. Also on Friday, you did. I was very happy that you did take my suggestion to go to Central Barbecue and try the sauceless wings.
Man.
Do you give them high marks?
I told you, some of the best ones I've ever had in my life. So I didn't just do that. I also got the pulled pork sandwich.
I saw the video. I saw the video online of you guys eating banana pudding. That was
a
little odd.
The lady feeding us.
It was a little odd, but
Mark,
yes.
Because Olivia didn't even have her phone in her hand yet. I'm telling you, it was bizarre, dude. Okay? I'm sitting there. Mark Jones orders up a peanut butter pie. Okay? And
that
Mark's
thing
like,
looked great.
Mark's like, he's like all over me because he's like one of those guys that if he's going to eat it, he wants someone else. You know what I mean? So he doesn't feel so bad about himself. So he's like just all over me about, hey, man, just come on, just get a bite of that. So I'm like, all right, I'll do one forkful, okay? So I got my fork right there, and this lady who works there at Central Barbecue, she grabs me by the wrist like forcefully, bam. And I'm like, whoa, out of nowhere. And all of a sudden that fork, she has a fork of – banana pudding, and it's like right there in my mouth. She's like, eat it. And I'm like, huh? What's going on here? She's like, eat it. So I eat it, and it was amazing. But then she went on to feed Mark and Olivia, which you saw the video of Mark and Olivia being fed, but it was a little bit bizarre. I don't know if I've been fed in quite some time, Mark, especially by a complete stranger.
Yeah, that was a little odd. And now, hey, look, I can't remember you telling us what your week two game was. Where are you going to be this week?
Yeah, I just got it. Because, by the way, speaking of some things we're right on, some things we're wrong on, boy, my Missouri getting over 8.5, they better do something
different. They blew that game. That was 17-point favorite.
Lose to Wyoming. Anyway, I was either going to be at West Virginia, which, who by the way, barely beat James Madison, West Virginia at Missouri. But when Missouri lost, there was no chance because they went to E2. So I will be in Maryland, who, by the way, won 78-0 against Howard. I will be at Syracuse visiting Maryland, 11 o'clock kick on ESPN on Saturday. So I'm pretty excited about that game. And, you know, Josh Jackson, the old quarterback at Virginia Tech, he transferred last year. He'll be there under the guidance of Mike Locksley, who was at Alabama last year. So I think that'll be intriguing. Plus, Syracuse, they kind of got it going right now. Top 25 team. So I think that's got the chance to be good. And then the week after that, Central Florida hosting Stanford. So I need KJ Costello to come back, Mark, because I sure would like Stanford to beat USC. So that's a legit top 20 matchup between UCF and Stanford. That would put us in the 2:30 ABC window on Saturday. So we know what time, we know where we'll be week three. We just don't know the network yet.
Those were a couple of really bad losses for the SEC, Dusty. Missouri and Tennessee. All the Big 12 teams won, even though, Iowa State, Northern Iowa was a really interesting game, and I hadn't planned on watching much of that one, but I did watch the end of it and in the overtime just for the sheer fact that it could have been an upset. But nothing was worse than the weekend than Tennessee.
Let's listen to that. Georgia State, by the way, 2-10 last year, dead last in the vaunted Sun Belt Conference, goes into Knoxville, Tennessee, the ninth best program in the history of college football, says Sports Illustrated, in asinine. Goes in there and beats them, and this is what it sounded like.
Carter goes in motion off the center. Will hand off to Barnett. No. Ellington keeps it. Puts his foot in the ground. Gets ahead for the first down. Slips away. Touchdown. Beautiful run for the quarterback, Dan Ellington.
He's been giving it all day.
I'll tell you, what wasn't beautiful on that play was tackling. That was some of the worst tackling I've ever seen. Tennessee's tackling is brutal.
Jeremy Pruitt better have his head on a swivel, Marcus. I'm just telling you, I don't know if you survive losses like that.
Well, I said Mike Gundy probably turned the job down Saturday night. probably was ready to call him.
You guys,
That's
cousin swam collegiately at Tennessee. Big-time Tennessee fan, as all Tennessee fans are. They love their football there. I feel bad for them, but he was talking some kind of mess before this game. Before the season, saying, watch out for the Volunteers.
I thought that Tennessee might be better.
I'm just saying, he's gone radio silent since then.
I bet he went radio silent.
He's in mourning.
Man.
Absolutely.
Hey Mark, you referenced the escape in Ames. Here's what it sounded like. Iowa State takes them three overtimes to take down Northern Iowa.
In the backfield. It's a touchdown.
Cyclone fans
and the
can
play,
exhale everywhere.
The play previously, that running back had fumbled the football, and it was lying on the ground. There was a couple of Northern Iowa guys that were right close to it, and Brock Purdy came out of nowhere and threw his body in that pile and came up with the football. I was so impressed by that play. Just thought he had a lot of guts to go in there and do it. We've seen other quarterbacks that don't want to get in anywhere near the football when it's on the ground. And I thought that was a big-time leadership from a guy that's, he's a winner. Iowa State didn't block anybody very well. Their defense was good in the game, especially their rush defense. But that one was kind of puzzling because you thought all day they're going to separate, and at some point in time, and they could never lose Northern Iowa. So this is a big week for them, a game against Iowa.
That's this week, right?
Yes.
And see, that game's in Ames, isn't it?
I think it is, yes.
I'm pretty sure that game's in Ames. It won't shock me as bad as they looked and barely escaped that if they come out and beat Iowa this week.
That they were looking ahead a little bit?
Until they put more on film that tells me I should think otherwise, I still think Iowa State's going to be pretty good. That game is in Ames. 20 versus 21 right now. My guess would be Iowa State may drop a little bit, but probably still stay in the top 25, but that's a – they've been on the wrong side of that Cy-Hawk game for a while now, so that's a very important game, and Iowa's got a solid defense. You know, Nate Stanley's coming back at quarterback, good running game. So A.J. Epenesa, one of the better pass rushers in the Big Ten, he'll be trying to get after Brock Purdy, but – if they can find a way to win that game, that'll be really big for their confidence before they get into Big 12 play. But, man, they did not.
The defense was good, though. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't, like, all bad everywhere. I mean, the defense was good. The defense was good enough.
Right. I hear you. I'm just saying, though, that was – man, no one expected to see that, though. I mean, because I think we all universally thought, I mean, Iowa State's going to be really, really good this year. And at home against, I believe, Northern Iowa's an FCS score, are they not?
They are.
Yeah, I mean, to take three overtimes, but at least you got the win. But a huge game for them this week against their in-state rival.
I had to apologize to you. I had seen a score where Kansas was behind late. So I sent Dusty a text. I'm like, Les Miles lost to Larry Bird. And then I go back and look a little bit later on in the afternoon, and Kansas had won. They came back and they scored a touchdown with under 2 minutes to go. So the Big 12, a perfect 10 for 10. In the opening weekend of college football.
Who was the biggest disappointment? I mean, SEC with the Tennessee falter, Missouri falter, Ole Miss goes down to Memphis.
I think you have to single out. I think Memphis is just better than Ole Miss.
But I'm with you on that.
By the
way, that hit right on the head too. 5 points. That was the number. Vegas hit it on the head.
Tennessee was. That was bad. That was the weak point of the weekend. I mean, Tennessee is the number one deserving goat.
No, they were, and not in a good way. Not that kind of goat. They were the
not
goat you don't want to be.
I'm at AutoMax. On an AutoMax Sunday, we're in Del City today. Tag, title, and tax on every new and pre-owned vehicle sold today. So come in and see us. Engines for Life. They got bankers on site here to get you immediately approved. People are off work. Trying to go out and eat some breakfast this morning. Couldn't get in anywhere, man. People are out there enjoying this Labor Day. So come by and see us here at I-40 in Sunny Lane at AutoMax Hyundai. We return. Much more football to get into here on the show, The Monsters of Midday.
Take the sports animal with you wherever you go, anytime.
Which quarterback was going to start? Who was going to play? We're just going to go with Spencer Sanders the entire game. He's going to come out and kill it. He'll look great.
Good for him, man. You know what? His quarterback backed him up. And I agree with what he said. Like, I kept looking for it, Mark. He never, like, seemed rattled. You know what I mean? And, again, I know what Oregon State's defense is and what they're not. And they're not a great defense by any stretch or a bad defense. But on the road, first game, I never saw him get uncomfortable. I never saw him really panic or, you know what I mean, typical things you'd see in a guy making their college debut. We didn't see that. So, again, he checked all the boxes for me, and I was excited. I've been saying it for a long time. I can't wait to see Spencer Sanders, and now since I've seen him, I can't wait to see him again, man. He's an exciting player.
Did anything change your mind this weekend about moving up, moving down? Like,
down. What do you mean?
In the conference, like projections. I mean, I don't know, you've been high on Baylor. I mean, it was Iowa State bad enough for you to think that
I got to wait. I got to wait. I had Oklahoma State at 8-4. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't have them. I don't think they're going to be terrible, but I mean, yeah, I mean, I would say maybe I would be a little bit more optimistic based off of what I saw from Spencer Sanders and the fact that they're not going to rotate quarterbacks forever. But I'd also say that the defense didn't give me a whole lot of reason to be overly optimistic, but I think that offense can be able to outscore a lot of people. So I'd probably still have it. I mean, where I did, I think I had Oklahoma State right at the middle of the pack, maybe fifth. I'd say that they potentially could. I don't think Craig was wrong when he said potentially they could finish as high as third. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility, but I'm just seeing a little bit more. But I'm probably a little bit higher on Oklahoma State than I was before the year, and I wasn't terribly down on them. I had them being better at 8-4. I didn't have them being a 9 or a 10 win team. But I mean, again, in his debut and that offense, they look really good, and they're going to look really good this week against McNeese. I'll give you a better idea after week 3. Let me see Iowa State play Iowa this week. Let me see Oklahoma State go to Tulsa and see how they handle that that Tulsa team that they should be able to handle. If they're a legit team that's going to make some noise in the Big 12, they should go to Tulsa and handle them. So
All right, what do you, Texas LSU? Huge, huge, huge game. Huge.
Well, both
game.
Those teams look great this week, man.
I thought Texas looked better than expected.
How about Joe Burrow? He had 5 touchdown passes in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this Joe Brady, this new offensive coordinator. Maybe it's not all hype. I mean, I didn't. Joe Burrow with 5 tugs in the first half, dude. That jumped off the page at me. I mentioned earlier. Spencer Sanders had the 4th highest QBR of any of the quarterbacks in the Power 5 heading into last night. Now, with what Jalen Hurts did, I think if he's not number 1, he's number 2. But Joe Burrow was number 3 on that list, just ahead of Spencer Sanders, a 97.2 QBR. Again, it's Georgia Southern. Okay, I want to keep it all in perspective. But, I mean, when was the last time that an LSU quarterback had 5 touchdown passes in a game, let alone a half, Mark?
It's been a while. It's been a
while.
Game,
so, this game's interesting to me. I'm not ready to make a pick. I'll tell you. What, we have a number yet? What's the number?
Yep, 4.
LSU minus 4?
Yes.
Wow, that number's gone all over the place. Think about it. It opened this summer at 3.5, LSU favorite. It came all the way down to a pick 'em. Now it's back up to minus 4 LSU. That Joe Burrow performance, it made people in Vegas very high on him. You know the defense is going to be good. The question's always been, can they get a quarterback that's capable of pushing the ball down the field? Makes me like Texas even more that they're a 4-point favorite. I don't know. I'd probably lean right now towards Texas just because nobody puts baby in a quarter and nobody should declare Tom Herman an underdog when he's at home. So
this is a big week of college football. There's some really good games this week.
Oh, listen, what's the number? I haven't even looked at numbers yet. Let me guess. Clemson A&M. I'm going to guess it's Clemson minus 13. You got that number yet?
I think it's higher than that. I'll go to scores.
I'll probably be on A&M on that one then because I think A&M is – I think they're legit. Kellen Mond looked really good the other night. Again, it was against Texas State, against Mr. Spavital. But I caught some of that game on the SEC Network on Thursday, and – I don't know, man. I think that schedule is too daunting for A&M to navigate all year, but I think they're pretty darn good. I think they're at least going to – we watched them push Clemson last year in College Station. I don't think they can go in there and beat them in Death Valley, but I don't think they're just going to get smacked around either.
Right. Let's see. Cincinnati-Ohio State should be another good game. You want to take a guess at the number on that one?
Cincinnati, Ohio State. How about that game, by the way? 28 points. Justin Fields looks like he's on his way to having a 10-touchdown day, and they kind of shut it down after the first quarter. I'm going to take a guess and say it's Ohio State minus 14.
17 on that.
Okay.
And by the way, you're going to get 18 with the Aggies.
You're going to get 18?
18.
How do you not take those points?
I don't know. It's a lot of points. Tennessee favored by 3 over BYU. That game is going to be in Knoxville. UCLA favored by 7 over San Diego State. That might be a live dog. Coastal Carolina goes to Kansas, and Les Miles and the Jayhawks are favored by 8 points. That line has dropped from 10 where it opened.
The Chanticleers.
And the LSU-Texas line, Dusty, is up to 5 right now.
5. Oh, let's let it keep getting higher. I haven't even made it through this week. I haven't even started to. I gotta wait till my last pick's over this week before I can get too far into next week. But yeah, week 2 slate. Hey, what's my game's number, Mark? We looked that up real quick.
2.5.
Ooh, I'm telling you, I think we're gonna
road team favorite.
We've got a sneaky good potentially one of the matchups of the weekend.
Yeah.
Hey, and
I
by the way, Iowa State is not this week. It's next week.
Okay.
Iowa State's second game. They have a bye. Rutgers at Iowa this week, so
conference
they got Matt Campbell's got 2 weeks to prepare for the Hawkeyes.
Yeah,
let me look down the list here.
So does Iowa. They've got 2 weeks to prepare. Also, I don't think the Rutgers game will be much of a challenge for them.
Well, that's definitely true. Yeah, this should be a those two big matchups. I cannot believe A&M's getting 18 points. That's one of those numbers to where you can't believe it, so you should probably just stay away from it, right?
Right, yeah. Right. Well, the line tells you a lot. I mean, I think they expect Clemson to play well. I think they should. All right, I'm at IMAX Sunday here in Dell City, 606-4000 to set up your VIP credit appointment. We got a lot more coming up in the show. We'll talk to Jake Trotter from Cleveland. The NFL kicks off on Thursday night. Bears, Packers, a game Dusty knows all about. Stay tuned to the Monsters. More coming up next.
Complete coverage of Oklahoma State versus McNeese State.
It's third no-no yesterday, and I was listening to him talk after the game, and he acknowledged, recognizing and understanding, there's a big difference between guys that have had two no-hitters and three. How about this, Mark Rogers? It wasn't very long ago that it felt as if this dude was on the downside of his career, right? He's in Detroit. Things weren't looking good. And ever since he's gone to Houston, how about this? Okay, this was on Get Up this morning. Revived and thriving. He was traded to the Astros two years ago, August 31st of 17. Since that time, he's led Major League Baseball in starts, innings, pitches, wins, strikeouts, opponent's batting average, opponent's on-base percentage, whip, strikeouts per walk rate, and hits per nine innings. Number one in Major League Baseball over a two-year span in all those categories. How about that for a resurgence in your career?
That's extremely impressive. But
and a world championship, by the way.
And you also, he joins that list of the only other guys to pitch that many no-hitters, three or more, Sandy Koufax and Nolan Ryan. It's pretty good company.
It's very good company, and he's got pretty good work at home, too, with Kate Upton. So I'd say it doesn't suck to be Justin Verlander, boys.
No. Nope. He's busy. Things Astros, they're going to be tough to beat with that pitching. Gerrit Cole is just as effective. And his strikeout numbers are off the charts. I mean, even historically, he's one of, he can get people out. So that's going to be a tough team to beat.
I don't want to get too far off the rails here, but I will just let you guys talk a couple of minutes. How you feeling? Cubs down three games to the Cards.
Do we have to talk about this right now? Do we have to? No, I'm just kidding. Mark's Cardinals look really good, man. They're going to win this division.
Mark, you feeling good?
I see what he's trying to do. No, I don't feel that good, but the Cardinals have been hot here lately. Took three or four from the Reds in back-to-back doubleheader days. That was wild. Cubs have the Mariners here for a couple. That should be some wins for Chicago at home.
Yeah, at home is the biggest part of that. So
it's going to come down. And the Cardinals, you agree that this season, the series in St. Louis is probably going to decide it, right?
You would think so, right? I mean, they're probably going to be within two games of each other, at least, unless something crazy happens. That'll be a good series.
Very good, very good. Okay, here's what I want to do here. Mark, I want you to tell us what's going on AutoMax Monday, first of all.
We are at AutoMax Hyundai in Dell City. The 2019 Elantra is just $10,980. Pre-owned vehicle starting at $29,95. Engines for life. Also, bankers on site to get you approved. All trade-ins are welcome. They're making deals the other dealers won't here at AutoMax Hyundai, I-40 and Sunny Lane.
Okay, very good. I also want to play this, but then I want to get into some NFL. We've been very college-heavy. We should be. Start of college football season, but we've hit on quite a bit that's gone on. But I did think, you know, we praised Jalen Hurts. We talked about the Oklahoma offense. We hit the highs and lows, the Oklahoma defense. And Jalen Hurts, it was, I don't think anybody can question it. It was as good a debut as there's been anybody in a Sooner uniform, especially at quarterback. And with the numbers he put up, 508 total yards, 176 on the ground, 6 total touchdowns, and Craig had the stat earlier, in the last 15 years, the only other player to throw for 300 with 3 touchdown passes, run for over 150 with 3 touchdown runs was Johnny Manziel in 2012, and he won the Heisman. So what Jalen Hurts did last night was, I mean, it was big time. I mean, he had a monster performance that is probably going to put him right there at the very top as we start to look forward to New York City. And everybody's going to have their weekly Heismanology. I mean, he's definitely put himself in a good spot. And if you look at the defenses they're going to face the next couple of weeks, he's going to have a chance to put up some really good numbers. First quality defense he'll probably face is going to be in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl. But as great as all that was, and this is going to be a little bit long, but I want to play its entirety. I thought what he had to say with Holly Rowe after the game was even better and potentially – more impactful for this Oklahoma football team moving forward? Here's Jalen Hurts talking about last night with Holly Rowe after the game.
As you scored your first touchdown and you started to hit some nice throws, how did you settle into this offense in your first time?
Just playing football. It's great, great surrounding cast around me. O-line did a great job. The receivers did a great job of getting open. We played good football at times, but it was not consistent enough.
You seem super disappointed right now, and yet you set a new school record for yards in a debut, and you're also the first Oklahoma quarterback in school history to throw for over 300 and rush for over 150. So can you be somewhat happy?
I got to go talk to my boys. We got to get right. We got to get better. We got to take more steps.
When you look back on this game tonight, what do you think is the thing that you've got to clean up most?
Sloppy play, really trusting it, and just executing better. We got to execute better.
All right. What does the future hold for you guys? What kind of feeling do you get from this debut?
Hopefully, we can learn from our mistakes from this game and take that next step next week.
Okay. Can I just get one smile? You played well tonight, Jalen.
We got to do better, man. I'm telling you.
All right. You gave me a baby one. I'll take it. Thank you.
I'm just saying, Mark, I mean, that's what you want out of your leader. That's what Nick Saban beats into his players' mind. That's the mindset. That's the mentality each and every week. If you listen to Nick Saban at the podium each week, it's words like that. I mean, that could have been Nick Saban saying that after what they did to Duke this weekend. To me, that's what you want. I mean, not feeling like you've arrived, not feeling like what you did was good enough, but constantly looking at how do we get better. And to me, that is as much as the talent on the field. That's the element that I was excited about him bringing to Norman, Oklahoma, that leadership and that mentality of understanding what it takes to get to that next level. I thought if you're an Oklahoma Sooner fan or if you're Lincoln Riley and when you listen to that, you got to love what you were listening to because that's exactly what you'd want to hear from the leader of the football team and somebody who just went out of performance like Jalen Hurts.
The defense, surely that's what the side of the ball he's talking about, right? I mean, I don't know how you find that much fault in the offense the way they executed. They did have some mistakes, but I agree. That's a great mentality to have for the leader of that offense.
I thought that was pretty cool.
How good would that story be if he does go back and kind of is finally the guy that gets Oklahoma over the hump against his old team there? He lost his job. I mean, if that was a scenario to unfold, that would be
crazy. It'd be movie-esque. I mean, you know, it's.
I know we're going to get on to NFL. I spent a little time watching the Alabama Duke game for kind of an extended period of time where I wasn't flipping around. Duke moved the ball, and at the start of the second half, they went for it on fourth down at about the 40-something yard line, and they didn't get it. And then Alabama had whatever they want throwing the football. Yep. I mean, and the way that Tylan Wallace looked against Oregon State, Jerry Jeudy looked that way against Duke. I mean,
Jerry Jeudy's good, man.
He's just the best player out there, and there's really nobody that could do anything about it.
He is. I thought Duke defensive line did some nice stuff. They hit Tua a couple times. Mm-hmm. I thought they got after him some as best they could. They put up a fight early, right? But then it was all over but the crime from there. All right, let's get to some NFL stuff. There was some big news that came out over the weekend. You know, everybody here, the Cowboy fans, we're on Zeke alert, right? We're on Zeke watch. What's going on with Zeke? What's going on with Zeke? I think it was Saturday, Mark. Adam Schefter had to report that Zeke and the Cowboys were going to sit down, and it sounded as if they were going to be able to knock a deal out. Well, I read a report from last night that basically said they met, and that the Zeke camp, the Cowboys were not happy, the fact that the Zeke camp was not budging. They're not really even negotiating. I think that they've laid their terms out, and they want the Cowboys to meet them. So I think they're supposed to talk again today. Now I see a report from Todd Archer that's come out here this morning, some quotes from Jason Garrett. I don't want to bother you with reading all the way through them, but basically he is letting the media know when they get Zeke, they're going to fire him in there. They're not worried about, you know, Zeke not being in shape and, you know, the type of guy Zeke is. He's going to be fully ready to play. They trust him. So it sounds as if they are able to get a deal done, you don't have to worry about him, you know, sitting out and working his way into playing shape. Jason Garrett let it be known today, when and if he gets there, he's going to be ready to roll. So what do you think, Mark? We've asked this question for weeks now. It's been 37 days, the holdout The fines totaling up to $1.48 million that he will not pay any of. We know that. But we see him this weekend? They get this deal done?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he's coming in. I really don't. I would think that he needs. You're saying that if he signs a contract on Saturday, they're going to play him on Sunday?
Well, I don't know about Saturday, but I think within the
Thursday. Is that the last
day? I don't know.
Day?
I think if he could make, I think as long as he's at Friday's practice, it wouldn't shock me if he plays at least some.
Wow. I don't think he's going to play this week. I don't think he's going to play this week.
Yeah, I would lean toward. I agree. I just wonder if Jerry's going to cave. I mean, I don't know how this goes, but it sounds like there's been a line drawn in the sand. Zeke has said what he wants. Basically, the way I view this, they've already made him, I think, more than a reasonable and fair offer. That's not good enough for the Zeke camp. And I think at this point, it's just up to Jerry if he's going to cave and if he's going to make him the highest paid running back in football. And I think if that doesn't happen, I don't think Zeke's going to sign.
I don't think he's going to do that.
At this point, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm just so over this whole situation. I want him to get it figured out, but at the same time, I don't want Jerry just cowering down and doing whatever Ezekiel Elliott wants. It just it's become annoying to me as a Cowboy fan. I mean, I recognize the talent. I know what he means to the organization, and I get all that. But at the same time, it's like, you know, Zeke, as good as he's been on the field, he's been equally bad off the field. And for him to step up and basically do it my way or I'm not showing up, I don't know. It's gotten to a point where it's rubbed me the wrong way. I mean, there's an element of me that would love nothing more for him to miss the first 2 weeks the Cowboys roll and Tony Pollard has a couple 100-yard games. And at least it'll make Zeke realize, well, you know what? Maybe I know I'm still really good, but maybe I'm overvaluing myself just a little bit. I don't know if that's necessarily going to happen, but at this point, that's kind of my hope. Because I'm just.
I think you got. I mean, and I know that there's a tendency to feel like the start of the season is a huge deal in this. And I think everybody thinks about just now and what's going to happen this year. And, you know, but obviously, if they redo this deal and pay him a ton of money, the long term ramifications for the Cowboys could be really negative.
I'm with you, because they're going to pay him a ton of money. I mean, they've already offered him a ton of money. It's just, you know, at what point is enough enough? And. I don't know. I would lean towards you. I don't think he's playing this week. And, again, unless Jerry makes him the highest-paid running back, I don't expect Zeke to sign anything.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know where Jerry's head's at. It sounds like this whole time he's basically said it sounds to me like he's got his numbers in his head, Zeke's got his numbers in his head, and it's all at a stalemate. So I'm obviously going to sit back, relax, and watch how this goes down. One trade that we do, there was a couple of big trades that went down in the NFL. The Houston Texans, Mark. The Houston Texans, they move Jadeveon Clowney. And they move Jadeveon Clowney to the Seattle Seahawks. And in return, because Clowney wouldn't sign his franchise tender. Now he signed it so that they could make the trade go through. So now Jadeveon Clowney is a Seattle Seahawk. They can't sign him to a long-term deal until the end of the season. He'll play for the franchise tender, and then they can redo his deal. But what the Texans get in return was a 2020 third-round pick and Barkevious Mingo, former LSU, I believe a top-10 pick, and Jacob Martin. So, you know, that's kind of the deal there. But the Houston Texans, they were not done. This should be no surprise to anybody that Kenny Stills was dealt from Miami. I thought that between coach and owner, that was just a matter of time. But the Miami Dolphins, they trade their starting left tackle, Laremy Tunsil, and wide receiver Kenny Stills to the Texans. Miami gets first-round draft picks both in the 2020 and 2021 draft and a second-round pick in 2021 and a couple players that you probably don't know about. So I got to tell you, I can't sit here and tell you that the Texans got better on defense, but offensive line and keeping Deshaun Watson was a problem last year. Laremy Tunsil, when he doesn't have the gas mask on, like he did in the video of the NFL draft a few years ago, he's become one of the better tackles in football. And Kenny Stills, the number two, opposite Hopkins over there, I think he's going to have a chance to have some great opportunities and at the very least stretch the field. So I think this makes the Houston Texans a lot better. And my clear-cut pick to win that division this year, Mark.
Wow. Okay, that's interesting. We got our NFL preview coming up a little later on in this week. Those were good trades. I thought that the trade with Miami was a lot better than the trade with Seattle. But you can't pay everybody. So Jadeveon Clowney's a pretty good player.
I feel like they could have gotten more for Jadeveon Clowney, though. A third rounder and two guys who, I mean, are decent players, but just, ugh.
Let me ask you this.
I feel like they waited too long.
Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
What did the Steelers get for Le'Veon Bell?
Nothing.
Okay. This was going to be the exact same situation.
Sure. No, absolutely.
Jadeveon Clowney wasn't going to show up.
No, I'm with you there. They had to trade him. I think they should have done it earlier, though. And well, think about their situation right now. Bill O'Brien is the guy who's making these trades. I don't like that setup at all.
That's fair. That's fair. You can say that. But I'm just saying the fact that they thought they could get Jadeveon Clowney to sign the tender and he wouldn't, once you get to that point, you kind of have to make a decision, don't you?
Right.
I mean, yes.
Because if you don't, you go through Le'Veon Bell's situation. And you potentially lose him for an entire year. And then next year, you're in the same situation with the Steelers, just had to let him go. So, I mean, as much as I agree, Barkevious Mingo and a third-round pick is not like some great haul for Jadeveon Clowney. You're right. I agree with what you say, Matt Ravis. They waited too long. But the fact that they waited as long as they did, I mean, I think that you got to try to get what you can get at that point.
Sure.
I just really like the moves on the other side.
Absolutely.
I thought that was smart, and clearly the Houston Texans are taking a win-now approach as opposed to the future.
Well, they pushed their chips to the middle of the table, that's for sure.
Melvin Gordon is not going to sit out the entire season?
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, he's got that Week 10 deadline thing, all this stuff.
He'll play in one game, probably.
One game just to get the accrued season?
Absolutely, because if he doesn't, he still sits there and he's got another year left.
So what are we doing if we drafted Melvin Gordon in fantasy? Like, are we cutting him right now? Or are we waiting until Week 6? That's a tough decision, man, because he's just going to waste up a roster spot on your bench.
He is. I would say I have my draft tonight, by the way. I will have Melvin Gordon off my board. Off my board.
Mm-hmm. I think that's probably a wise choice.
I think I'm picking middle of the pack. I think I'm seventh pick tonight. What do you guys – give me a target. What should be my target with the seventh pick? What am I hoping for?
Hope DeAndre Hopkins falls to you, I think, probably.
I can't take a receiver that high, dude. I can't.
Oh, I think DeAndre Hopkins is the way to go. Because what are the running backs going to be like at that point in time? The first three guys are obviously going to be off the board. Saquon, Christian McCaffrey, and Alvin Kamara.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you can take Ezekiel Elliott.
I don't know. That seems a little rich for
you probably will have a choice of Le'Veon Bell if you want him.
That may be. You think Le'Veon Bell will be there at 7?
I do.
Probably so. What's the setup for this league? Is it PPR?
Yes.
I think I'd go with DeAndre Hopkins if he fell there, but I don't know if he's going to be there. So that may be a moot point.
It's very hard for me. I don't know, man. I've always been somebody that really values the running back.
It's a tough position, especially this year, whenever there's such a clear drop-off from the first three guys.
I've also seen people pick receiver, Dusty. I don't get it really necessarily. That happened in a situation in our league last year, and a guy did really, really well. But, you know, it's kind of all a little bit about luck. What round are you going to target a quarterback?
Oh, I don't know, fourth, fifth? I can find a quarterback somewhere.
We have – I heard one kind of thought philosophy this weekend. Maybe it was on Matt's show on Fantasy Island about with quarterback play, like, say, in the first couple of weeks of the season, you could use a guy like Matthew Fitzpatrick, who's not going to be drafted, and have a chance to rack up some considerable points at that position.
Well, I'm not.
People
I'm
are all over Mahomes, man, and I don't think that's a good – to me, is not a good pick.
No, I don't. I'm with you on that. I'm not gonna go up super high and get Patrick Mahomes, but at the same time, I'm gonna pass on Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzmagic will not be my quarterback who I'm taking that late. I would hope I can get somebody a little bit better than that.
I've had good success waiting. I feel comfortable with my quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson. I don't know about real life, but he's gonna be a good fantasy player, and he's going like round 12, round 10.
He'll score.
I wonder where
points.
Dak Prescott's gonna go.
That same range, just about, I think.
That far down the line?
League I'm in tonight is an auction.
Oh, that's
so
weird.
Be,
I've never done one of those.
We'll be auctioning off. And this is a league I've underperformed in.
Are you going to use your whole budget up on the first two guys? Go after Saquon and Kamara?
I've got it. They're not available. It is a keeper league. You can keep three players. And my team last year, I've got Tyreek Hill at a low number. I have Vance McDonald at $0 I got last year. And then I have the Kerryon Johnson for the Lions.
Right now, ESPN rankings have Hopkins as a six player, Devontae Adams seven, Le'Veon Bell eight.
I would be happy with any of those three guys.
Yeah, I think as long as I get one of those three. The thing I like about picking right there is that snake draft, so by the time I come back around, there still should be some pretty good quality players. You know what I mean? Like, picking first is great, but then when you get your second pick, man, it's so far down the line. This is a 12-team league. It starts to get pretty slim pickings, you know what I mean, by the next time you come around.
Yep.
So I kind of like being right there in the middle. All right, when we get back, let's go to Cleveland. We're already talking NFL football. Let's talk about the Cleveland Browns. Maybe I should look at some Browns players. We'll see what Jake Trotter has to say. Get his thoughts on what he saw in college football over the weekend. The Iron Man joins the Monsters next.
The Morning Animals.
Buck is my new friend.
Hopefully we are helping you while you're laboring like we are. Welcome to the show, The Iron Man. Happy Labor Day, Mr. Trotter.
Happy Labor Day. Happy first weekend of college football day.
Man, I don't know why, but like, I think today's one of my favorite days. It's become one of my new favorite holidays. There's so much to talk about. There's not enough time. Like, 3 hours isn't enough time to get out all the football that we saw over the weekend. So let's start with you. Before we get to last night, let's go back to Friday. What'd you think about Spencer Sanders and his debut as a Cowboy quarterback?
I was very impressed with Oklahoma State's offense, more impressed than I anticipated being. Spencer Sanders was a big part of it, but you know the guy who was the most impressive to me of their offensive guys? Chuba Hubbard. Man, I didn't realize he ran with that kind of power. I just don't remember him having that kind of – I mean, he was running over guys in addition to running around them. I mean, he has a chance to be their next big-time back, and – I mean, you know, I said it before the season started. You know, I picked Iowa State to finish third in the Big 12, but I felt like the ceilings of Oklahoma State and TCU were higher. And I feel really good about saying that about Oklahoma State after watching them put up 52 against Oregon State. Not a good Oregon State team, but, I mean, you put up 52 on the road against anybody, that's pretty good. I think Spencer Sanders, his ability to run the ball brings them a different dynamic than they've had in a long time. And Tylan Wallace is one of the three best wide receivers in the country, along with Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb. So, you know, defensively, you know, we'll see that they didn't really impress, especially in the first quarter there. But I just think offensively they're going to have a chance against just about anybody they play this season.
The TCU quarterbacking was left a little to be desired.
It did, but they did get Matthew Baldwin. I guess Gary Patterson announced it Saturday night that their appeal to get him cleared for this season went through. So I don't know what that means for them. I don't know if they're going to plan to still use him. I think that the fact that they were so aggressive trying to get him cleared that you know, he might be the guy for them going forward. I still like Alex Delton for them as like a change of pace guy, but you know, you probably need to supplement him with a guy who can throw the ball a little bit more. And, you know, Max Duggan, their freshman, he just might not be ready yet. I didn't see that game. But, you know, the numbers looked okay, but I think there was a reason why they were you know, appealing to try to get him through.
To me, that's a positive sign. I don't want to hate on Alex Delton too much, but I've seen enough of him to know if he's my quarterback, I think that there is this. It's a ceiling and it's a low ceiling. It's not a high ceiling. Let's go to Norman last night. Record-setting debut for Jalen Hurts. What'd you think about him? And then obviously – what'd you think about that Alex Grinch defense?
Well, let's talk about the defense first, because I, like Todd Blackledge, kept thinking to myself, the defense looks better. This looks like a different kind of team defensively. And then you look at the scoreboard, and it's like that's kind of the same kind of score that we're used to with OU football. So I think that they have a chance to be a lot better defensively, but I don't know that it's necessarily like Blackledge said, that it's there. You know, what did you think, Dusty? I mean, I thought there were good signs, but
same.
Again, if you're giving up 30-plus points to a Houston team,
well,
that's not that great either.
No, it's a good offense. It was a great start to the game. I thought the first quarter in particular was as good as we've seen in Oklahoma defense in a while. Just speed, tackling, getting after it, playing the other side of the ball. And really, you hold them to 10 points in the first half. I thought that there was a lot of good. But then I thought in the second half, we saw some issues. Run defense, thought there were some issues tackling. Even the first quarter, Trey Brown missing that tackle of Porter. So what I thought was signs and reasons for optimism. I thought that there were some better things. But I also thought there will be plenty there for Alex Grinch and his coaches to coach them up on and remind them they got a long way to go. But I think that I thought there were steps in the right direction.
Yeah, Mark, you know, I think a lot of that stuff is correctable. Like, you know, they were turning guys loose at quarterback. I mean, how many runs did King have where there's just like nobody by him? And, you know, there were some really bad penalties that kept drives alive, particularly from the secondary. So, I mean, I think they can, like, iron some of that stuff out. They weren't getting, you know, at times the last few years, they've just gotten overmatched. You know, or they're just turning guys loose with multiple breakdowns. And it didn't feel like that was there as much as we've seen in the past. But, again, like, this is a results-oriented business, college football. And, you know, if you're giving up 30 points a game, you're not going to go undefeated, and you're going to have a hard time against, you know, the big boys, Alabama and Clemson. But I
got to get takeaways, Jake. They got to get takeaways. That's one thing that I was disappointed with. They didn't get a single takeaway last night.
Did they have any? I can't even remember.
No,
I don't think they did. Yeah.
They lost the tournament battle 2-0 last night.
And Houston had a couple ones that, you know, sort of kept them semi in the game, too.
Right.
Hey, congratulations. Tell us a little bit about this article, the Barry Sanders article. You won an award for that.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's the Football Writers Association, which basically, like, the, you know, all the people that cover college football, they have a writing contest every year, and Barry Sanders won for one of the four categories. So that was very cool.
That was a great piece you did. I remember it very well when you wrote it. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Standing ovation for it. Not surprised, though, Jake. You're a fine scribe. You are a fine scribe. All right, let's talk some NFL football. Give us something juicy on the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, man, it was a busy weekend. You know, they obviously a busy weekend across the league with teams getting down to 53 players on their roster. I thought, you know, one of the most surprising things was on special teams. The Browns deciding to keep two rookie kickers. Austin Seibert, obviously, is the field goal kicker. And then their punter, Jamie Gillen, is one of the, you know, better stories around here. This was a guy who played at Arkansas Pine Bluff last year, was undrafted, you know, completely unheralded, but got a tryout here and ended up, you know, making the team, you know, for training camp. And from there beat out Britton Colquitt, who was a Pro Bowl alternate last year for punter. So it's going to be interesting to see how those two guys do, but they're, you know, relatively inexpensive and they got a lot of talent. And, you know, there are going to be some games on the line where they're going to have to deliver. You know, Browns made some trades. Taywan Taylor, they brought him from Tennessee. I don't know how, like, regular this happens, Dusty, and Mark, you probably know too, but, like, they play Tennessee this weekend.
Happens a lot.
Obviously.
Happens a lot.
And it just seems like, as paranoid as coaches are, they must get aggravated by that, by that happening. Now, it's one thing to claim a guy on waivers from a team you're getting ready to play, but to trade a guy and all you're doing is exchanging seventh-round picks. I mean, I don't even – like, is that worth it? Obviously, Tennessee felt like, you know, that was something they wanted to do. And, you know, he said today – Taylor said today he's already been talking to the Browns' defensive coaches about Tennessee schemes going into the weekend. That would annoy me if I were an offensive coordinator.
Dusty, what do you mean? You said it happens a lot?
Well,
is that,
yeah,
is that
I don't
a pretty
trades.
Bad?
I don't know about trades, but I will say claiming a guy off waivers maybe just for a week? Absolutely. And you're
right.
Looking for all the secrets. But the trade, that does not happen. That's not as commonplace. But I know we're at the Bears multiple times. We picked up guys the week that we were playing a team that they had previously been with, for sure.
Yeah, so I don't know how you combat that. I mean, you probably save a little bit for the week of the game in terms of terminology or, you know, the way you're signaling, obviously. But, I mean, again, it's just it's funny, as paranoid as coaches are about – I mean, we've seen, you know, coaches block players from transferring to schools that they're going to play, you know, because they're – concerned about, you know, those players getting inside looks into the programs to future opponents. But in the NFL, it happens like week to week. And in this case, it happened pretty actively from the Tennessee side. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But, you know, the Malik Jefferson, remember that name? That was the guy the Browns claimed off waivers from Cincinnati. It'll be interesting to see if he can make any kind of impact. Obviously, had a lot of promise after that freshman season at UT. You know, beyond that, you know, it's pretty standard going into the season. It's just going to come down to, you know, whether their big names can produce.
I like the opening game. The Titans did not have a very good training camp. I mean, they had a suspension of their left tackle. They also had quarterbacks just didn't really perform very well. So that be a game that the Browns should win. You don't want to lose that one.
Well, and this is the question, I think, with Cleveland. If somehow they, I don't even know how they would lose that game, but let's say they did. Then you go to the Jets, you know, that'll be a highly publicized Monday night game, especially with, you know, that being Baker's coming out party last year. Like, if for some reason you started out 0-2, then all of a sudden we're going to find out a lot about this team, because that's when they're, you know, going to get a lot of tough questions. That's when the chemistry is going to be put to the test. You know, Freddie Kitchens medal is a first year head coach. So you'd like to push that down the line a little bit. You don't want to face all of that right away, the adversity. I think that they'll win, but it would be interesting for sure if some, you know, whether it's turnovers or the rookie kickers or whatever, that the thing went south of them in the opener.
I did not see week three preseason game, but I know you obviously did. What happened with Baker? I know the defense played lights out, but why were his numbers so bad? He's like 10-27 or something.
Yeah, I mean, part of it
was going on.
Well, none of the other first-team skill guys played, so that was part of it. So it was a lot of receivers that aren't even on the team anymore. Like Jalen Strong, you know, Derek Willis got put on the practice squad. You know, none of those guys played very well in terms of, you know, catching the ball or, you know, being precise with the route running. The offensive line, this is more concerning to me. The offensive line, you know, was just turning people loose. And, you know, I think Baker didn't play well, like, not taking it off him, but he didn't get a lot of help either. And, again, if you're looking at what might derail this team, you know, go watch the offensive line in the first half against Tampa, and you can see where, I mean, there was a reason that they made two trades for offensive linemen last week. I mean, they're trying to, you know, shore that up best they can, because that is the one thing that could really derail an offense that has incredible firepower elsewhere.
What? Okay, I got one more question for you, and this may be a dumb question, but I think I'm not so sure it's that easy.
Okay.
Who do you think will finish higher in the rankings at the end of the year? And we can say yards or points per game, the Cleveland offense or the Cleveland defense?
I still think it's the offense, but I think it's a fair – I think it's a – if you said the defense, I think there's a case to be made there, because the defensive line is going to be terrific. I don't know how good they are after their top four. Like, I don't know how good the depth is. They've got a bunch of unproven, untested guys, you know, as backups. You know, the linebacking corps is okay, but they've got two, I think, really intriguing rookies in Sione Tonsitaki and Mack Wilson from Alabama. And then I love their corners led by Denzel Ward. So I think that the ceiling is probably higher with the offense. But for the reasons I just laid out before about the offensive line, the floor might be a little bit lower, too. So I'm going to go with the offense, though. Just, I mean, we're just talking about Baker and Chubb and OBJ and Landry. I mean, it's just too much there for them to not be, you know, one of the best offenses in the league.
You ready for this 16-game season to get kick-started, man? It's a little bit different to college.
I'm ready. One thing that I'm very excited about was, and I sort of noticed it this past weekend, even though there wasn't a game, I'm going to get to watch a lot of college football, too.
Yeah.
You know, I don't got anything going on work-wise on Saturdays other than, you know, traveling occasionally in the morning. So I'm looking forward to watching a lot of college football. And it was fun to see games every night. You know, Oklahoma State felt like it kicked off at 2 in the morning. but it's been fun, you know, all these games. You know, every night of the week, including tonight with Notre Dame and Louisville, and huge game for the Big 12 next weekend. I've talked about it before here, Texas and LSU. For the Big 12 to feel good about its playoff chances, that's a game that the league collectively, including the Longhorns and Sooners, need Texas to come down with. And by the way, the line is minus four, LSU.
I think it's five now. Mark said it's five.
It is
up to five.
You ready to lock it?
Do you think it's going to come down by Wednesday? You think it'll be all right?
I think it's only going to go the other way. Yeah, it's going one way. I don't think it's coming back.
Till Wednesday. I think I went 3-2, Mark.
I was going to ask you that.
I think I went 3-2. I jinxed myself because I texted you in the first quarter of that Ohio State game saying that I'm going to win this easily, and they didn't score the rest of the game. So lost my lock, but still went 3-2.
Very nice. Well done, Jake. Mom and baby good?
Everybody's doing well. It's been fun. If also tiring and completely sleepless.
Well, very good. Great work. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday. Thanks, Jake.
Okay, guys. We'll see you.
The Iron Man of the Sports Animal, that is Jake Trotter. It's an AutoMax Monday. Marcus, where are you at today?
AutoMax Hyundai in Del City. So come by and see us, 606-4000. The 2019 Elantras are just $10,980. They have pre-owned vehicles starting at $29,95. You're going to get engines for life here. They'll get you approved, man. They will get you approved. And got a ton of new stuff in stock here. You can also come see the new 2020 Palisade. They're making deals other dealers won't at AutoMax Hyundai, I-40, Sunny Lane, Del City.
Quick break. We close up shop next on the Monsters of the Midday.
Check out the Sports Animal Facebook page, facebook.com.
On Friday night, it's one of Spencer Sanders' three touchdown passes, the other to the youngster from Union, C.J. Moore, on a slant. And then Charleston Rambo, remember he had that big touchdown last year against Alabama? Remember the speed, got behind the defense? Mark, he's got some afterburners. That dude's got another gear. And whenever he wants to go, he just flat out can run away from you. He had a couple of nice catches in that long touchdown last night. One of three passing touchdowns for Jalen Hurts. It is an AutoMax Monday. Marcus, what's going on at AutoMax today?
We have a busy day in here, man. We got a good crowd. We're selling some cars. They're making deals other dealers won't. So come in and see us, man. Bankers on site for immediate approval right now. All trade-ins are welcome. So come make them a deal. And check out the 2020 Palisade. Also, a launcher starting at the low price of $10,980. AutoMax Hyundai, I-40 Sunny Lane in Del City.
Oh, boy. You got it. Well, now I think I may lock up Clemson. Headline just came out. A&M's Hawker says they'll beat Clemson Saturday.
Yes. A&M who?
A&M's Hawker, junior offensive lineman, told reporters today. He went Joe Namath on him, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
He's declaring victory. And then they asked Jimbo Fisher, this is what Hawker said. He says he likes being the underdog and that, quote, you always have something to prove. Does that make Clemson ripe for an upset? He says, yes, it does. There will be an upset. Jimbo Fisher was asked about that. And Jimbo said, he said that? He said, well, Jared better play a lot better. Jared Hawker of the Texas A&M Aggies has declared victory over the reigning national champions who are currently on a 16-game winning streak.
Dusty, he probably watched the NFL draft and saw all those guys that he competed against last year go in the top, 25 picks and didn't figure they'd have any more superstar defenders. But hey, he's going to be wrong about that.
They've got a laundry list of them.
Yeah.
They just keep showing up. They got dudes coming out of their ears.
Well, he just gave him some bulletin board material.
That's what I'm saying. Why? Like, what are you doing? Like, again, I don't want to overstate it. Like, again, I mean, games are played on the field, but I don't know why you would do that. Why do you poke that bear? I mean, that's a big, bad bear, Mark. It don't need poking.
No, that was a mistake.
I mean, Brent Venables, you know how happy this made Brent Venables today? Brent Venables is enjoying his lunch now that much more. He doesn't have to say anything.
Do we have to flip back and forth between those two games? 6:30 and 7?
Yeah.
No, 2:30.
Yeah, it's early game. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're smart.
2:30.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, they the early game, that's Clemson A&M is going to be early. It's going to be hot. Oh, it's going to be hot there, Mark. And the nightcap is in Austin. That'll be Fowler, Herb Street, and the crew that was on the OU game last night. They have Clemson A&M on Saturday afternoon. We do have action tonight. final slate on the opening college football weekend. My final pick. This number is going up. Notre Dame was an 18-point favorite. It's up to 19 right now. I think the Irish roll tonight, Mark. I'm worried a little bit for Notre Dame and their schedule this year. At Georgia, they have to play.
They have three or four tough games on the road, but other than that, there's really not many games that should challenge them.
Well, here's the deal. They've got six different games where their opponent's coming off a bye, and none of those games they're coming off a bye. That's the only thing. Like, the fact that USC lost a quarterback, that's not going to help things out, but that's the only thing I would say that could get them a little bit in trouble. But, yeah, at Michigan, at Georgia are going to be tough. We'll see if Stanford can round into shape at the very end of the season. They do have to go on the road for all three of those games. But, yeah, we'll see. I think Ian Book's a good player. I think he's solid. I think that definitely Louisville isn't going to be that much improved from the laughingstock that they were last year. I pulled it up earlier today. I was talking with Craig off the air. Do you remember how awful, and I mean awful, they were at the end of last year?
Who?
Louisville? Louisville.
Yes. Yes. I heard you guys talk. I heard that discussion. Yes, I did. I thought you were talking about Notre Dame against Clemson in the playoff.
No. Louisville.
They were awful that day. But, yes, Louisville was a special kind of awful.
Louisville, this is what they did to close out the year. 66-31 loss to Georgia Tech. That got October started. Then they lose 38-20 to BC. Then they lose 56-35 to the vaunted Wake Forest Deacon Demons. Clemson, the game I did, was 77-16. That one stings. How about Syracuse clipped them 54-23, and then they really threw in the towel. NC State beat them 52-10, and old Mark Stoops, Kentucky, got them 56-10 to make for a perfect Blutarski 0-8 in ACC play. So we'll see. Scott Satterfield comes in.
That thing went south
for
quickly.
State. Oh, man. They threw the proverbial towel in. We'll see if I can't get to 3-2, get above the Mendoza line. Enjoy the football tonight. I've also got a fantasy draft. We can talk about some of that tomorrow. NFL starts up on Thursday. We are in full-blown football season. Enjoy the holiday. We're taking a 21-hour break here on the Monster of the Midday. Mark in an extra hour. Don't go anywhere. Keep it right here on the Leader in Sports, 98.1 WWLS, the sports animal.
Complete coverage of Oklahoma versus South Dakota and Bud Light Game.